Boom shakalaka, what's up, what's up, what's up? Hey, in today's episode, I answer the question, what is a commissionary? I think being a commissionary is key to finishing the Great Commission. So my buddy Justin Eves brought me on to his weekly show. Unfortunately, the video recording didn't come out the best, so you just get to see my beautiful face and his face in the video. But all right, let's jump into this episode. My name is R.K. Castillo. I'm part of a group of followers of Jesus who have said yes to the Great Commission and the Greatness Commission. The Barna Research Group found that 51% of Christians have no idea what the Great Commission is. We will change that. We believe in finishing the Great Commission by reaching every person with the good news of the Kingdom of God and discipling all the nations. We do this by living the Greatness Commission every day. We serve, we love God, and we love people. We believe that every follower of Jesus is called to demonstrate the greatness of God through signs, wonders, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. The works of the ministry are no longer just for the pastor or the professional preacher. Every follower of Jesus is called to do the works of the ministry. We can no longer just sit on the pew or in the chair in the church. My job is to empower and equip you to do great things with and for God. I am a commissionary, and these are some strategies for you to be one too.
Hey, what's going on? As always, I want to continue just sharing, telling the stories, you know, sharing about where I've come from, what God's taken me through, just sharing about my past, you know, just remembering about the good things that God has done. So before we get started today, I'm going to share a little story. So most of you already know who my buddy RK is. I think majority of you have heard him share at church. You've become familiar with him. RK is somebody who I met when I was only 20 years old. I'd say it was probably at the start of my journey. I was a Christian already at the time, but it was the start of just God just opening up my eyes to what is available. So I'm gonna share a little bit about me and RK when we first met. Most of you probably already know this, but I'm gonna share it anyways. So back when we first met, man, the thing I loved about RK is him and I were both in a place of, we were just hungry. We are hungry to be used by God. We are hungry to just get to pray for people. Neither one of us really had experienced crazy miracles or healings, any of that stuff, but we had been reading about it. We knew about it. You know, we knew what scripture said. And so, man, we were just gung-ho. I remember we got to Brazil and it was just like, man, for some reason, we got just focused on fuego, which is fire, fire of God. I mean, him and I, even joking around, would look at people and be like, fuego, you know, fire, get them, God. We just wanted God's presence to fall. And so in Brazil was, for me, man, when I just had my world rocked. Getting to see healings take place. You've heard RK tell the story about the little boy we prayed for in the wheelchair, how he walked afterwards, you know, times of, you know, I remember times when we just didn't even have time to pray or to know what they needed prayer for. And we were just, get them, God. And people would just get healed, get touched. And one of my favorite stories that we always talk about is when we prayed for this woman in a park. And she had like a white outfit on. And I remember we prayed for her. And man, presence of God just fell, right? Just boom, lit her up. And she falls down in the mud. And I remember people are like thinking, dude, she's in the mud. And I'm even thinking like, oh man, this lady's white dress. And, you know, after she gets up, me and our care, like, you know, touching her back, you know, as we're praying for her. And we're like, dude, like not a single drop of mud on her. I mean, just crazy. God encounters, seeing people get saved, seeing people get healed. And that's where our relationship, our foundation as friends was built on, was just something that could never, you know, just be changed, man. Just crazy, like, you know, him and I, our foundation was built on God. We just both wanted God to move. And we didn't care about the breaking breaks and all the strongman stuff. We just wanted to see people you know, healed and set free. So that's all we cared about was the praying afterwards, man, just getting to pray for people. So I've known this guy since I was 20. and I'm 40 now. So 20 years. Even after that, when he stayed traveling the world and I came home and became a youth pastor, he would come and he would stay at my house for weeks at a time and hang out with the youth group. You know, he got to invest in people's lives like Katie and different people. You know, he would come and just be part of what God was doing here at Desert Streams Church. So I love this guy. He's one of the reasons why the missions field opened back up for Desert Streams. When I told him I wanted to start doing missions again, he happened to just to be at my house one day. And he just looks at me and he's like, yo, let's go to India. And I said, let's do it, man. I mean, within months, we're taking a team to India. So come on, man. So I'm excited to get to have him share today. Listen, guys, I want you to come ready to receive. Because I believe what RK brings to the table is powerful, man. I know this guy's been all over the world. He's got crazy stories. He's, you know, been everywhere, experienced God move in a mighty way. And so I'm going to give him the opportunity just to have at it today. So come on, man, let's come and let's get what God has. I'm going to patch him through right now. And pray that he has service.
That he has service, because I know he's in a park probably right now. What's going on?
Hey,
man, what's happening?
Living the dream out here, living the dad life.
Yeah.
Kids playing in the park.
Well, I'm excited to get to have you on. I know you've been, you know, in all these crazy long Zoom meetings, 4-hour Zoom meetings. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but, man, I had a 4-hour long Zoom meeting today. It was ridiculous. Got one tomorrow and one the next day again. I don't know who decides to have 4-hour meetings, but it shouldn't be allowed.
Well, I'm glad that even after being all Zoomed out, you're still willing to hop on and share with us. So, man, I'm just going to give it over to you and, you know, have at it, bro.
Man, so you guys see Justin's shirt, rocking the commissionary shirt? No, I just wanted to talk to you guys about what is a commissionary? A commissionary, it's a term that I made up because I was thinking about two things. The first is the Great Commission. Did you know that the Barnard Research Group, they did a study and they found out that 51% of Christians have no idea what the Great Commission is? That just blew my mind. It's like the last thing that Jesus said before he left is the Great Commission. And so it's like, imagine it's like you have one last conversation you can have with people, and so you're going to decide that this is probably the important thing to say. It's what we call the Great Commission, right? And so I couldn't believe that basically one out of two people, if you go ask them, hey, do you know what the Great Commission is, they'll say I don't know what that is, you know. So the Great Commission has two parts. The first part is the first part of the Great Commission is the Mark Great Commission, Mark 16, where Jesus says the gospel should be preached to every single person on the planet, to all creatures, right? That's the first part of the Great Commission. It's preaching to everyone. In Matthew, Jesus says the Great Commission is to disciple or to teach all the nations. So it's the two hands of the Great Commission. On one side is preach to every single person on the planet the good news of the kingdom of God. And the other side is we need to disciple all nations. So not just make disciples in nations, but make disciples of nations. And so as followers of Jesus, when you signed up to be a part of Jesus's family, you signed up to do those two things: preach the gospel to everyone and disciple all the nations. It's a dream of God that's the family dream. It's the family business. This is what we're called to be a part of, is the Great Commission. But so as I begin to ask God about how do we do the Great Commission? Find our place in God's plan to reach everyone and disciple all the nations. I started to do another study. I call it the Greatness Commission. Because Jesus says, he said only a few things, about half a dozen things. He said, look, if you do this, you'll be great. And so a commissionary is someone who says yes to the Great Commission and yes to the Greatness Commission. So I just wanted to talk to you guys today about a few of the things in the Greatness Commission. So who here remembers, if you can in the chat, give me a couple instances where Jesus says, look, if you do this, you'll be called great in the kingdom. Because the Great Commission is about saying yes to reaching all and discipling all the nations, not just making disciples, but discipling nations, right? So it's also about saying yes to the Greatness Commission. So Levi got one of them. Let's see what else you guys can come up with. Jesus says, if you want to be great, you need to be the greatest servant in the world. The servant of all. There you go. There you go. Oh, everyone's getting the servant one. Anything else? Anything else? All right. So what do you guys think it means? Hey, there we go. The next one is to, if you want to be great, you got to become like a child, right? So let's talk about this first one. The greatest in the kingdom is the one who is the servant. You know, especially in our Western worldview, it's easy to want to be the person who's being served. You know, you want to become famous. You want to have the most YouTube subscribers. You want to have the most likes on your Facebook videos and whatever the heck they call it on Instagram. You know what I mean? It's like you want to have the greatest account, but you know, Jesus says the one who is the greatest in the kingdom is the one who's a servant. So think about this. The God of the universe, before anything was ever created, you got the Father, Son, Holy Spirit sitting there in perfect unity, right? And then they want to make a family that can show the world what their relationship is like. And so they create Adam and Eve. They put them in a garden. And you guys know the story. People royally screwed everything up. And they said, you know what? We need to do something to make the world right again. So the Son says, you know what? I'll go down. I'll become a man. And I'll show them what you're like, Father. And ultimately, he'll pay a price to deal with the problem that man made on the planet. Right? So think about this. God of the universe, if there's anyone who could have come down and said, look, I'm God, every single one of you should bow down and worship me and serve me and do what I say. Instead, this guy, the night before he's going to go and lay down his life, he goes and he picks up a towel and he washes people's feet. You know, it's like, it blows your mind when you think about how good God is. Like, he acted totally different than the rulers around him, right? He acted totally different than the religious people thought he was going to act like. Right? They all assumed that the Messiah was going to come and was going to destroy all the Romans and set up an earthly kingdom. And instead, he comes and he washes people's feet. He grabs the poor and he makes them a part of his family. The lepers who no one would ever touch, he embraces them and releases healing. Right? He gets prostitutes and he sees them transform. I mean, he was this amazing servant God. So first thing, if you want to be great in the kingdom, don't expect to be served, but grab up your towel and begin to serve people who the world says, look, they're dirty, they're forgotten, you can leave those guys alone. Right?
Come on, that's good.
That's the first thing. Second thing, he says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to become like this child. Man, I don't know if you guys have ever been around kids, but I think he's saying, don't be childish. So I remember Justin used to pick up kids and he would throw them at me, you know? I remember we went in a hot tub once, and the kids brought ice cream, and they began to have an ice cream war inside of the hot tub, throwing ice cream at each other. And so it's not being childish; it's becoming childlike. And when you're childlike, you trust the Father. Man, my kids dream. You know, I remember I came home one day and my daughter was 9 at the time, and she was crying on the couch. And so I asked my wife, I said, what's wrong with her? And she said, she just found out that there's more slaves now than have ever existed in history. And she was reading about the emancipation of slavery, but she found out that there's more slaves nowadays than there ever were in history. And they're all trapped in the sex industry. And so she's just weeping, just at the realization that slaves still exist today. And she comes into my office like 10, 15 minutes later, and she says, Dad, I'm going to end slavery. And I'm thinking, man, God, I got something to learn from my daughter. She's 9 years old, believing that one of the greatest sins that exists right now, slavery, can be eradicated, and she's going to do it. Like, that's the type of heart that we need to have, man. We need to have a heart that believes God, trusts God, and just trusts that what he says is true. You know, like, I tell my kids stories, and they just trust me. Like, I call them to do something, and they'll go do it. It's like, it's what being childlike is, you know. It's like, man, we need to have a childlike heart that just trusts and believes and goes after big things, right? And, man, I would love to see this in our churches. You know, kids, they don't receive a junior Holy Spirit when they get saved. Man, you know, like, so many times we put them in the back and we just expect them to just play with toys and don't disrupt the service, you know? And I'm thinking, man, what would it be like if we believed that kids get the same Holy Spirit, same power of God, same grace of God that we have if we release kids to do the work of the kingdom? Man, we could see God do some amazing things through the kids, you know? And I don't know. Okay, I'm preaching here, so so forgive me, but I'm just thinking, man, kids are important in the kingdom of God. So much so where Jesus says, if you want to be great in the kingdom, you got to become like them.
Come on,
right? So amen. Another thing that Jesus says, if you do a study of the word great and greatness in the New Testament, Jesus says this. He says, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and reject you for my name, because great is your reward in heaven. Man, so saying yes to the Greatness Commission, you begin to embrace rejection, where it's not something to be feared. I think so many people are afraid to get out there and talk to people about Jesus, pray for their friends, show the world what God is like, because they're afraid of what happens, man, if they say no. What happens if I step out and they reject me? And if you realize something, man, Jesus looks at rejection and he says, man, I love that. He says, so much so where he says, every single time you get rejected by trying to love someone and reach out for my namesake, I will reward you. So, man, I started to embrace rejection, realizing that every single time I get rejected, it's something that Jesus will reward me for in the future, right? So when Jesus says, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust don't destroy, right? He's saying that every single one of you have a heavenly bank account that you can make deposits in. And one of the things that will make a deposit in your heavenly bank account is rejecting, getting out there and getting rejected. So, man, we need to begin to embrace rejection, because to finish the Great Commission, we have to begin to embrace rejection. So I started challenging. Whenever we do trainings, I challenge the people in the training. I give them a challenge. I say, you have a day. By the time I'm teaching tomorrow, you have to go out and get rejected 5 times. And and it's funny what happens when people begin to embrace rejection. They begin to see God do things that they've never seen before, because all of a sudden, instead of being afraid of rejected, they're trying to get rejected. And they'll start to see God do things. That's kind of amazing. And I think so far the record for one of the people that have gone through our trainings is like 19 rejections in a day. So, man, if you want to take up the rejection challenge, I don't know how it would work right now when everyone's all locked up in COVID captivity. But, man, may you embrace rejection and start to walk it out, man. Where you're not afraid of rejection, you embrace it, you know, because you're doing something that matters to Jesus. He says, look, these people are trying to reach out and love people, and that matters to me. The people, the response of the people isn't up to you. Your response to Jesus and his call on your life is what matters, right? So blessed are the rejected. Can I get an amen?
Amen, amen.
All right. So next thing that Jesus said, he says, blessed are you who not only know the commands of Jesus, he says, you're blessed. You'll be called great if you know and if you teach people to obey the commands of Jesus. Man, isn't that crazy? So if you look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus says, disciple nations by teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? So if you're going to say yes to the Greatness Commission, you need to live in the red letters of Jesus and look at those things where Jesus says, look, do this and don't do that. And you need to be someone who not just knows the commands and not just obeying them, but is teaching others to do the same thing. So it's why I created the red letter devotional, because starting to ask people, hey, do you know the things that Jesus commands you to do? It's like blank stares, like, no, I don't know. I think he told me to love people and love God. It's like, yeah, that's it. But do you know there's like around 100 things that Jesus told you that you need to do or told you not to do? So, man, live in the red letters. Look at the things where Jesus said, do this and don't do that. So, for example, you know one of the things that Jesus commands you to do is to raise the dead? Woo! Hallelujah.
Come on.
One of my dreams in life, to see someone get raised from the dead. Matthew 10, 7, and 8, Jesus commands you to raise the dead. So it's not an option. You need to get out there, and if you're ever around dead people, you need to try to raise them up. Because if you love me, you'll obey my commands, right? That's what Jesus says. And so we need to know the commands, and we need to start to teach them. We need to be not just hearers of the word, but doers of the word, right? We need to say, man, Jesus, I want to live my life according to what you've called me to do. And the thing that he's called you to do is live according to the things he told you to do. Go figure, right? The commands of Jesus is the family value system, right? It's like, this is what God is calling us to do. This is what we're supposed to do as a family. This is how we act, and this is how we don't act. You know, like with my kids, I say, hey, we go do this because we're Castillos, right? It's like, our family has a value system that we say, this is how we act as followers of Jesus. This is how we act as Castillos. So, man, if you obey and teach others to obey the commands, that's when you'll be called great in the kingdom. All right. Who can guess the very last one? The very last one, there's one last one. It's probably the most important one. We'll see if people can get it. Can you guess, J-Hole? Can you guess it? All right, we're going to talk about the greatest command of all. You guys remember the greatest command of all? If you're going to say yes to the Greatness Commission, you have to say yes to the greatest command of all. Do you guys remember what it is? No, not poured spirit. There you go. It's love. He says, this is the greatest command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then love your neighbor as yourself, right? Did you know that right now God looks at every single person on this planet and he loves them 100%, and there's nothing that people can do to change his mind?
Come on.
And there's nothing you could do that would make God love you more. I mean, you can't fast more. You can't pray more. You can't worship more. You can't get out there and preach the gospel more. Like, you can't go do that stuff to earn the love of God. It's 100% right now. He looks at you and he sees someone that he loves, right? Man. And when you have a love like that, all of a sudden you receive that love and you begin to give it away. You begin to reflect the love that God has on you to the world. You know, it's like sometimes my son gets mad at me and he starts to yell at me, and then he yells, I hate you. And you know what my answer every single time is? Man, son, I love you so much. There's nothing you could do to change my mind about you. You know why? Because, man, I received a love like that from my Father in heaven. Man, I got to show that to my kids, you know? I got to show that to the world. You know, for the last, like, almost 10 years, we spent time with a bunch of people in that society, you know, doesn't really love at all. You know, the homeless, the dirty, the drug addicts, you know, rejected by society. And we would sit with them and say, man, you know what? You matter to God. He loves you. And there's nothing you can do to change his mind about you. Right? Man. And to watch the love of God come and transform people's lives.
Come on.
It's worth it, guys. And so, man, we started to bring pizza down to the homeless every single week. We said, we're going to have dinner with the homeless every single week. And so we started to bring pizza. And, you know, we figured there's no better way to gather a bunch of homeless people than to give them some food. You know, Jesus says you need to eat with people that don't know Jesus. That's actually a command too. And so we started to bring dinner and we would eat with people. And there was a lady who started to come around. She was a drug addict. She would prostitute herself to be able to pay for the drugs, you know. And she came around. Guess what we did? We loved on her, right? We loved you. He said, look, you matter to God, and there's nothing you could do to change our mind about you, right? We love you. God loves you. Eventually, she says, man, I think I want to come to church. So she starts coming to church. Then eventually she says, I want to get baptized and give my life to Jesus. Then, you know, in the process, she got off drugs. She stopped prostituting herself. And eventually she says, you know what? I want to get reconnected with my kids. Because she had two young daughters who she had left because of her drug addiction and whatnot. And so she got a job. She was able to save up enough money to fly back to where her kids were and get reconnected with her kids. Why? Because of the love of God, you know? And I mean, I gotta be honest, it took a good year and a half, 2 years for the love to work its process. But man, there was kids reconnected with their mother and the mother reconnected with her kids because of the love of God, right? Man, I had another guy, he was homeless. He called me yesterday or 2 days ago, he called me. He had been homeless for, I mean, decades and came to Hawaii, you know, full on alcoholic for the last couple decades. And he says, you know what? I need to go to church. So he goes to one of the churches in Waikiki, and on the door it says, if you're wearing shorts, you can't come in here. It's like, what? So he's all butthurt, you know. He wants to go to church, and he's like, I don't want to go to church anymore. This is stupid. You know, like, they wanted to let you in because you're not wearing pants and nice clothes or whatever. So he's like, he's all butthurt, walking across the park, going back to the place where he stays. And he comes across us, a group in the park, and starts to listen and goes, oh, they're talking about God. Oh, they're a church, right? So he starts getting involved in our church. And we knew he had an alcohol problem. You know, it wasn't a secret. You know, we knew he was an alcoholic. But you know what? The love of God looks at you and says, I love you. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now. I love you and you can't change that. Right? And so, man, we had that guy. We had him over to our house. We would have him over for dinners. I would go pick him up once a week and we would go hang out and we would work on an aquaponics system. And then I'd take him to lunch every single Monday. You know what happened? One night, he walks into the store to get his alcohol like he always got. And all of a sudden, he goes, I don't need this anymore.
Come on.
And one night, set free of alcoholism that he'd had for decades. Why? Because the love of God comes in and it just changed him.
Right. Come on.
You know? And so, man, if you're going to say yes to the Greatness Commission, to be a commissionary, you're going to receive the love of God, let it transform you. So then you begin to reflect the love of God out to the world. And so, man, oh yeah, I got to show you my daughter's shirt. It says love. Tonight's Holy Spirit night, so we're going to worship. So she put on her love shirt. Love God, love people. Oh. Just a quick sheet, right? But yeah, so that's what a commissionary does. A commissionary says yes to the Great Commission, which is to reach all and disciple all the nations, and says yes to the Greatness Commission, which is a daily discipline where you wake up, you say, I'm going to love God, I'm going to love people today, I'm going to become like a child, I'm going to serve, and I'm going to live in the red letters of Jesus, and I'm going to so try to obey them that it begins to be the thing that I teach others to obey as well. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Come on, post up an amen.
Amen. My daughter says Jesus will set you free of binge watching Netflix. Maybe that's a word of knowledge. All right. I'm done. Should we pray for people, man?
Yeah, man. Have at it. Whatever you feel, you got any words of knowledge, any prophetic words, go for it, man. So I wanted you on here.
Yeah, man. I keep on getting something about a stomach, like feeling nauseated, like a stomach issue, where, man, you know, it's like when you feel like you're gonna have to throw up. Does anyone have that thing?
Yeah, if you have something like that, or you know who it is, just post in the comments. If you know, if that's you, or you know someone who's dealing with stomach issues, stomach problem, anything like that, we can pray for it.
Yeah, I also see all right, we got one. Like crossing eyes, like your eyes are going like cross-eyed. I don't know if you know someone whose eyes are going cross-eyed. Well, while we wait for that one, man, let's pray for this stomach thing.
Right, that's Father, Gina that posted it.
I want to speak peace into this stomach in Jesus' name. I say this nausea, this thing that has been making it feel like you're going to throw up, I say no more. From this day forward, may it be done. Like a stake in the ground, no more. I just release healing in the stomach in Jesus' name. And I don't know if it's like connected with certain foods you eat. Like I saw you drinking milk. I don't know if milk makes your stomach feel I don't know, gurgly, but may you drink some milk and see that, oh, it doesn't bother my stomach anymore.
Looks like Sandy said me too for stomach.
Yeah, come on, healing in Jesus name in his stomach. And the eyes, so I keep on seeing like it's like a kid. I see like a little girl with her eyes going cross-eyed. So I don't know if you know a girl who has, like, her eyes are going kind of like cockeyed, cross-eyed. So I just speak strength in the eyes in Jesus' name. And may your eyes just straighten up. And amen. Feel that stomach release in Jesus' name. So I just speak strength in the eyes. May the eyes straighten up. May the thing that the doctor said, this can't be reversed, may it be reversed in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Come on.
No, this is an interesting one. I feel like during worship, someone here is during worship, they've been experiencing something, like feeling something, and they're not sure if it's God or if they're just making it up. God is teaching you how to recognize his presence when it comes into the room. And so may you not feel like a weirdo. May you realize, like, that's God. That's God showing up in a room. In the same way, if a king or a president or someone walks in a room, how you would stand up in honor. Man, when you feel that thing during worship, you know, I don't know what it is, if it's a tingling or if it's like a heat or you kind of feel shaky or whatever it is. Like when that comes in, May you honor God and respect God and say, man, I welcome you here, and just ask for more. Whenever that happens, ask for more.
Come on. Looks like Robin said that she believes the eyes are for her daughter-in-law.
Yeah, come on. Release healing over Robin's daughter-in-law. Straight eyes, strengthen her eyes. Jesus' name. You got anything else, Justin?
Nah, man. Good, good. Come on.
I think someone else is you have a heart like my daughter to see sex trafficking eliminated. And you're wondering how can you make a difference? I think this week God is going to speak to you of how you can make a difference when it comes to sex trafficking. That's something that will open up this week for you.
Yeah, it's good. Man.
This one just popped in my mind too, since we're waiting. Man, I think one of the a great example of love and faithfulness is Pastor Gary. And so, man, I don't know if you can reach out to him during this time and just honor him for his love and faithfulness over the years, and just reach out and encourage him if you can during this time to say, man, I appreciate you showing me what love and faithfulness looks like during the season. I think, man, I don't know how he's doing, but I think that would be great if you guys encourage and honor Pastor Gary for what he's been doing.
It's good. Good. Well, anything else before we wrap up, RK?
I think that's it, man.
Well, man, I appreciate you jumping on. Hey, guys, listen. You see how RK is just flowing in the end here? That's what we call words of knowledge. And I want to tell you guys something. Every single one of you can hear God and experience God the way RK does. On Thursdays, we actually do a thing called Prophetic Zoom, where we walk you through how to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is doing. RK is just tapping into what God's already doing. He's just listening, and you can do the same thing. And in fact, I actually think that goes right along with being a commissionary, because I believe that as we step into saying, yes, I want to be a commissionary, recognizing that we hear God's voice and that we can speak God's words with boldness is one of the tools that God uses to do what? To add people to the kingdom, right? To go into all the world, but then also to disciple them. So, yeah, man, I love what RK had to teach. I hope that it inspired you guys. It fired you guys up. I hope you guys realize how easy it really is to walk out the Great Commission, right? Especially when he says things like, yo, it's okay to be ridiculed in my name, to be persecuted, right? Like, it takes the pressure off. So, RK, thanks for that message. I love it. Hey, where can people get these t-shirts? I know you have a thing they got to fill out, but man, trying to give a little plug for you. This t-shirt says commissionary on it. I know RK has a form, because it's one of those things that he's not just going to give out the shirt to anybody. It's for people who are going to live it. If you're willing to say, hey, I want to live that life, I want to answer the call, he has a form you got to fill out. If he approves you, you get a shirt. You get to buy a shirt. So a way to support him.
I think it's commissionary.org. I can't remember. Yeah, I think it's that. If it's not commissionary.org, and there's two M's in it, C-O-M-M-I-S-S-I-O-N-A-R-Y. If it's not commissionary.org, I'll
I'll shoot you the link, Justin.
And you can, if you guys are interested, hit me up. I'll get you the link. But yeah, man, love what you're doing, RK. Appreciate you and your family. Can't wait to see what's gonna happen when you get over to Paraguay finally. Yeah. To continue to transform Paraguay like you've been doing. Yes. So, amen.
Thank you,
let
brother.
Let me pray for you real quick before I log you off. Hey, guys, as I pray for RK, if you guys could just agree with me in prayer for him, his family, and everything. So, Father God, I thank you for the Castillos. God, I thank you for the call on their life. I thank you for the fruit, the abundance of fruit that's already come out. But God, I thank you that it's just the beginning, God, the harvest. I see, God, that's just the beginning of the harvest. There's such a greater harvest that's waiting because of this family. I thank you for their years of faithfulness and sowing. God, I pray for an increase of blessings, an increase of finances. Continue to use them, move in them and through them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Appreciate you, man. Can't all wait right, to get man. Back in that mission field with you.
Come on, Jesus.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
If you'd like step-by-step tools and trainings to help you finish the Great Commission, head over to purposeconcepts.com where you'll find tons of free resources.